Before we begin, I would like to borrow your imagination if I can. Now, I'm going to describe a bird, and I want you to think in your head what it is, all right? So, this bird has two wings, all right? It has webbed feet. It flies in groups, and it quacks. Did you think of a duck? Because if you didn't, please see me afterwards and tell me what you did think of. Now, most of us in here knew it was a duck because of the way I described it, because of its different features and its different attributes. And so when I said certain things like it quacks, it has webbed feet, you said, oh, that's a duck. Now, when people describe us, they use certain words, certain attributes to describe who we are as a person. They may say he's talkative. They may say he's outgoing, he's shy. But all throughout that, do they ever say, oh yeah, he's a Christian, she's a Christian? Tonight we're going to look at five attributes that should let others know who we are as Christians. The first being joyful. As Christians, we should be joyful, but not in everything. We shouldn't be joyful in sin or destruction. Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 tells us, David here tells us that, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thy heart. So David the psalmist tells us to delight, to take joy, to find joy in the Lord. But also in verse 5, he goes on and he tells us not to just to take joy, but to commit your way unto the Lord. So the first shows what we are to take joy in, and that is the Lord, and that we are to commit our way. We are to take action. But there's going to be times in our Christian fight that we get weary, we get tired, and we don't see why we should have joy. Well, we should have joy because of the promise of heaven. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 tells us that in heaven, certain things just won't be there. Certain things just won't exist. And it reads, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No tears, no death, no pain, no sorrows. That's something to be joyful about. The next word that should describe us as Christians is an example. And once again, Paul puts it best in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where he says to us, be followers of me as I follow Christ. And to the world, we are to be that example. We are to be someone that they could follow because we ourselves look like Christ. So we are to be J, joyful, and E, an example. And the thing about it is, Jesus was described a certain way in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The writer of John puts it, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, capital L, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So here, two people are described. First, there's John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare the way for that light, which is Jesus. And as Christians, we are to be emulating, copying, mirror images of Christ, so we ourselves are to be light. And Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, tells us what kind of light we are to be. And it reads, ye are the light of the world. We are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So here we see that We could be an example for bad, because Matthew tells us through Jesus' words that we are to be a light unto the world, that they may see our good works. And our works should not only be good, they should be glorifying our Father, which is in heaven. So next, we should be sincere, or sincereness should describe us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, here we find Paul, and he tells us that I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of our love. Paul here is telling us that, yes, I am commissioned to go out and speak, but that's not the only reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I love saving souls. Souls are what is important. And he says he is doing it after the example set by Jesus. Because if there was anybody in the Bible, in this whole world, that ever lived, that was more sincere, it was Jesus. Jesus could take an everyday example, like in John chapter 4, going to the well, getting water. He takes that and makes a spiritual application and saves a woman's soul. And also in John chapter 4, verse 35, he is with his disciples, and they walk by a field, and the field is ready to be harvested. And Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white to be harvested. Now, the disciples are there. They see the field too. But Jesus isn't talking about the earthly field. He's talking about the souls and how they are ready to be harvested. And the only thing that we need to do is go out and harvest for Jesus. But the thing with sincereness is it has to come with honesty. And we can't be a sincere hypocrite. We can't be someone that, yes, when I say what I say, I mean it, but only when you're in front of me. We are to follow the example of Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, where it says, let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes. Because if we show that we are hypocrites to this world, they will not pay any attention to what we have to say, because we will blend right on in with the others. We will not be an example. We won't be a light. We'll just be a part of the darkness. Which leads me to my fourth point. We are to be you, unique. And I would like to go back to the illustration Jesus used. We are to be a light, a candle. Now, let's just imagine for a moment that it's pitch black in here. All right? And someone with a candle that's lit walks in. Guess what? All our attention is going to immediately gravitate to that light, because it is different from what is all around us. And now, let's say that person with the light is a Christian, and then there comes in another person. This person isn't a Christian, so they have a candle, but it's not lit. And they walk into the pitch black room. What do you see? No difference at all. It's the same. It's as if they didn't even walk in. But then there are Christians who let their candle light be put out by the devil, by whatever. So let's say someone that had a candle that was lit walked in here, but it's not lit anymore. It's the same as not having a candle. So we must let our candles be lit for Christ. We must be unique. And all this week, from Wednesday on, a part of LTC was studying Romans chapter 12. And if there's anything that we can learn from Romans chapter 12, it is to be different. It is to be unique. Because there are certain things that as Christians, as transformed by the renewing of our mind, so as transformers, not as conformers, as Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 puts it, we are to do differently. First thing is, we are not to repay evil for evil. It doesn't matter who you are, how I feel about you. I must let my light, I must let the Jesus in me shine and be an example to you. And in chapter 12, verse 20, it tells us that if we do all these things, if we repay good for evil, if we see the one person we most dislike in the world, Because in middle school, I don't know if you have them, but in high school, we have that one person that we just don't like, that gets on our nerve through everything they say. Maybe in your job, you have that one person that just gets under your skin all too easily. So if we see them, if we see them and they are hungry and they are thirsty, they need clothes, we are to go up to them and we are to feed them. We are to give them drink. We are to take our clothes and clothe them. And doing so, it will heap coals of fire on their head, causing, as Grant said, utter confusion. And the thing is, it'll be a shock, a state of shock for them. And the thing about shock, when you're in shock, that is when you are the most susceptible to ideas or to new things, because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's around you. You're confused. You're befuddled. So we are to be unique. And finally, as Christians, we should be described, if nothing else, but as servants. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, tells us that we were bought with a price. And Christ's blood, it was that price. It was that sacrifice. And now we belong to Christ. We should live to serve Christ and not the world. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, puts it as plain as any other verse in the Bible when it says, "The whole duty of man is to serve God." And now, not only to serve God, but to do his commands. And one thing we're commanded to do, found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, is to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. So we aren't to let our lights be hid. So those are five things that we should be used to describe us if we're Christians. Now, who are we to look like as Christians? We are to look like J, joyful. E, examples. S, servants. U, unique. And S, sincere. As Christians, we are to look like Jesus. Now, there are some of us here today that our candle, we walked into the room this morning and it was pitch black, and our candles lit up the room. And if you need to come forward and to stay lit by prayer, you can do so. But there are some of us here that our lights were never lit. Our lights were never lit. We were never Christians. You can be lit through hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. But the thing about it is, there are some of us this evening that our lights were lit, but now they are put out. And just like I said, walking into a room with a candle that was once lit doesn't mean a thing. We must remain lit, remain faithful unto death. And if you need to be relit right now, you can come forward and repent. That'll relight your flame. And the prayers of the church will help you stay lit.